So welcome everyone to this glorious November day, the 10th of November. We're now moving into truly, truly the depths of autumn, where winter is already hitting some parts of, well, definitely Canada and some parts of the United States have had their first snow. So welcome to pre-winter. Those of you who are going along on icy streets are seeing icicles hanging from trees. And I know we also have some of you from the Southern Hemisphere, so we really will send our thoughts to you and think of warm days and spring flowers as our hearts join with you in this wonderful day of celebrating our united consciousness in Christ, receiving a blessing personally and also as a community, all of us together in one heart. And, of course, those who have taken our blessing course understand that at least half of the protocol in offering a blessing is drawing together the collective unity of our conjoined hearts and love, that the blessing may be offered not only from God, the Holy Spirit, Christ, and the earth, but from the one heart that we share. And I have a caller on our board that I'm looking forward to talking with. Hang on there for just a minute. And I would love to speak with anyone who wants to share today. Remember, the call-in code is *6 and then press 1. So let's take this call from area code 321, and you're on.
Thank you so much for having a call-in.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
And can I please share something cool that happened?
Love to.
In relation to spirit.
I would love you to.
I got a visit from a traveling dignitary.
And oh, you did?
The initials would be Chris Dunn. He got to visit.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. We were talking. He normally doesn't come to this region of the country, but that week he got a, charter to travel this way.
Uh-huh.
So we came by, we talked instruction and, had a home-cooked meal and, he even played the piece for me that, he and Nathan wrote and did at the seminar.
Oh, that, wow. How I missed that, and we're going to have another seminar real soon. We're working at it right now, everyone, and we want to have it in a hotel on the beach. It'll be a new thing because we want to cast the blessings out to all the waters of the earth. Tell me more.
Down to the coast. Come down to the coast down here. We went to the library and got him some hard copies of the latest lesson. He had them on the computer, but hard copies are nice to have.
Uh-huh.
It was a good opportunity for me to try to expand community competence, social IQ, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And, we talked about, last week you talked about the difference also between pain and suffering, and that was like a huge... That was like a quantum leap forward in understanding. For me,
for anyone who really gets it, it is a quantum leap.
It's like I figured out. The pain is the feeling in your nose when your socks really stink, but the suffering is when you throw them in the closet to fester instead of putting them in the washer. This pain might happen, but suffering is 100% free will.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. And just think about what that does to your consciousness, your heart, and your soul when you choose suffering. Not to mention the possible bounty of your future. Actually, this, if you really get to the bottom line of what turned around the life of Job, is when he realized that in God he had all things, and he completely let go of his suffering. It was a long way around the barn for him to get there because he tried everything else first. But when he let go of suffering, everything turned around.
I've got a ways to incorporate it into absolutely practical everyday thinking, but it's a huge leap for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, the first step is the beginning of a great journey. And the important thing is you took an actual, tangible step where you really know what the message is.
This came through.
That's right. Okay, well, I see Chris is on the phone, so maybe he wants to share a comment about your experience together. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Glenda. Thanks. I just want to chime in and say meeting Scott was absolutely awesome. I got to hang out with my sister, too. I just want to say Scott is really well-informed on health issues and was able to help me out with some issues that I've been having and already made a dramatic change. So thanks, Scott. But you opened up the call talking about unity, and I just thought it was extraordinary that during those 2 weeks I was able to meet with three people in person that are normally on this call. And so it's just been kind of an extraordinary experience. I've been sent to places I don't normally go, and always within 10 minutes of somebody that I've made a connection with on the call. So it's been a wonderful couple of weeks.
That's terrific. And, you know, you really are a traveling apostle. I mean, everywhere Chris goes, he meets with people and invites them into the community. And that's the second point, is that one of the great miracles that is happening through our blessing calls is so many people are enjoying not just social community. You can connect with people on Facebook and you don't even know who they are. You see a name, you see a face, maybe they say something that you resonate with, you know, that appeals to you and you want to chime in on and that sort of thing. But you don't really know them. And actually, I have to say that even people you meet in person, you don't know until you know their heart. And when you know their heart, it's like they become a piece of you, a part of you, and you become a part of them. And I think that there's a real learning experience for all of us, realizing that even though most of us on the blessing calls have never seen each other's face, and most of you don't even speak. Although this is one of the reasons I do like for some of you to speak every week. And yet, I can feel the unity growing and the one heart expanding as we join in these moments and time together on Sunday. And it really is like the quote from Yeshua, whenever two or more are joined in my name, I will be there. And it is true. Whenever you meet with anyone and you speak of him or his presence, and I don't mean preaching, I don't mean selling a viewpoint. Like Yeshua said in the last chapter of Love Without End, he said, I would so much rather the message to have been taught and the messenger left out of it. I've never met a more humble person than Christ. And I was just listening to, I didn't listen to it. My husband told me about it. But it reminded me of an interview that I saw last year about the great evangelist Billy Graham, who has just turned 95 years old. And he still looks great, apparently. And he's not evangelizing anymore. He's turned all of that over to his son, his grandson, and, of course, other people that that have come in behind him to support the ministry. But he's still the light and the voice of that ministry and probably the most respected Protestant in the world. He would be, although he has no aspirations to status, he would be the equivalent of the Pope of the Protestant Church because he's spoken with every one of the presidents since I think since Truman. He's offered the prayer for many inaugurations and many great events, and catastrophic events have happened, and they call in Billy Graham. And you would think this man would have a certain conceit about who he is. And yet the one thing everyone said repeatedly in honor of him is, this is the most humble man I've ever met. He judges no one. It doesn't, he has his pretty standard Christian story that he tells when he's on the pulpit. And it's pretty similar every time, with a few different anecdotes. And he's very firm about his belief in what he says. But if he meets anyone, he's like Christ. He just sits down and talks with them. There's no judgment, no opinion, no attempt to convert anyone, no attempt to preach to people. There's just the humility of the privilege of being with them. And I experienced Yeshua as being the greatest gentleman I have ever met, the most humble being I have ever known, living to serve, to carry light, to carry the Holy Spirit, to lift up others. And, you know, this is why in Spiritus Church, we don't preach. We just try to live by example and bring the presence of Christ as much as we can into the lives of other people. And this is what we do in our blessing call. We offer the presence of Christ to you, to receive it as you will, according to the prayers of your heart, the needs of your life. We don't tell you what to believe or how to believe it or how to practice it. We just know that as everyone is touched by the life of Christ, they live better, more fulfilled lives. On some level, they're healed. Maybe not in every level, because, you know, we all have lessons to learn. We all have choices to make. But everyone who touches Christ is better for it having happened. People ask me if I physically attempted to touch him when he appeared to me for the painting in our original visitation. And the answer is, I was so touched by his presence, I was really almost afraid of the degree of transformation I would experience if I attempted to physically touch him, even on the fingertip. But my little cat Gunner, who was there every day, sat on my drawing board, never taking his eyes off of Yeshua. And one day, Yeshua walked over and he patted him on the head. From that time on, Gunner chanted, and he never hurt a living thing. He would adopt mice in the garden. He would protect baby birds that had fallen from the nest. And he would, children who would come to see the lamb and the lion, he would go up to them and he would purr and sit beside them as they watched the painting. This is the way Yeshua touches us. By the power of his being. And one of the things that I have asked him through the years is, how could it be that I could just be, or anyone could be, like the lilies of the field, and all we have to do is just be, in order to have everything we want, in order to be completely fulfilled, in order to have all of our needs met. And he'll say something rather a little bit humorous or a little ironic, like, well, we're working on it. It's like, bit by bit, I'm starting to catch on. You know, it's not easy in this world of external demands and external opportunities just to be who we are, because so often, even just being who we are is about trying to be an identity. It's about saying, well, okay, maybe I'm a loser, but maybe that's enough. You see that little twist you put in there? Or, well, now that I've gotten everything I want in life, I've accomplished everything, now that I have all that history behind me, I just want to work on being me. You see that twist you put in there? Or, well, I know I've got this handicap, but can I just make that part of who I am and just be me as all of this? You know, I was just stumbling around on the internet. I was actually looking for a video I tried to listen to and got interrupted a couple of days ago, and I wanted to finish it, and I never did find it. But I came across another one that just got my attention, and it was about this supermodel who's been accused of being fat when she's probably a size 4. Please, you know, I would love to be a size 4 again. But she was talking about how we should embrace whatever size we are, whoever we are, however we find ourselves to be. Now, actually, that was a very encouraging presentation for a lot of people, because so many people judge themselves by, well, I don't have enough money, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not strong enough, you know, I'm not healthy enough, I'm not educated enough. And we do judge our people, ourselves and others, by all the things we're not. But I'm encouraging you to take that a step further, because the real power will not completely exist in just accepting what you're not. The real power exists in somehow getting beyond all the things you're not, to simply who you are. God gave the name to when he was speaking with Moses, God said, I am that I am. And that means I am is enough. I'm not God because I created the universe. Creating the universe couldn't possibly make God God. I mean, let's think about it. Theoretically, somewhere in all existence, there might be this incredible, super genius, mad scientist who could create another universe. That wouldn't make him God. Just because God created all of life wouldn't make him God. You know, we have geneticists who are doing amazing things with DNA, and I think they're about to think of themselves as God, but they're not. God gave Moses some incredible instruction, and I was thinking about this instruction. You know, I want to get there. That's really where I want to be. As a person, as a soul, as a heart. Because I know when I'm there that I will have the unconditional ability to just be and be with others and perhaps even give encouragement to others to just be. I know I've done a lot of promotion in the last year on my art and being an artist, and the fact is I'm a very successful artist, but you know, most of it is because God gave me a talent. It's not because of any, I know I worked on it, I know I'm educated, I spent a lot of years on it, but when I really get down to it, I look at a painting and I think, you know, everything I've done in this, God gave me that talent. I had it when I was born. I didn't have to do all this work. And I'm taking a lot of credit for work I've done when it was the talent God gave me and just allowed me, like lilies of the field. And I was thinking about the great musicians. Some of the greatest have never taken a lesson in their life. They play the piano or the guitar or whatever, the clarinet, or the saxophone, They play it from their heart. And it just comes, it's music from the soul. And it's there like a bird singing. I think we have all been given incredible talents that we have covered up by the demands of the world that tell us, well, yeah, but you really need to be an accountant or a teacher or a nurse or a salesman or a professor or you really, really need, you know, this is what the world needs. You need to be an ecologist or a social worker. That's what we need. And we've so allowed even good justifications of career to blanket these pure and perfect abilities we were given. And this is where I want to be. I want to be at that place where being is enough. And so I did refer back to what God told Moses, and then I thought, I wonder if he gave Moses the rest of the secrets in the Ten Commandments. I wonder if every single one of them has a clue. I know that Yeshua explained them to me as having the fundamental principle of love underneath them and a teaching of love. And I know that if love is who we are, there's also got to be a thread of wisdom going underneath every single one of them. And the first one that came to mind in relation to my exploration of logic on this subject was the one that says, you shall not bear false witness. That's always been interpreted to mean don't speak falsehoods. Don't misrepresent things. Don't lie. You know, don't say untruth. But what if we are living an untruth? What if we're bearing a false witness of who we are? And all of a sudden the gong struck. It was like, oh my heavens. And I began to look at all of them. Okay, you shall not commit adultery. Well, Yeshua, there's of course a lot of that going on, but let's not judge. Let's not judge. Let's look deeper. Like Yeshua told me in Love Without End that adultery is actually forming relationships for the wrong reason. Okay, so let's just say that what if we were really being who we are, totally who we are, and our mate is being who he or she is, and we choose our mate because of our basic union on the level of a soul, who we really are together, we would have no desire whatsoever to be unfaithful. It wouldn't be like a moral injunction. It just would be irrelevant. It would be irrelevant. Okay, what about thou shalt not covet? If we're being who we really, really are, you know, the lily of the field doesn't need what the coyote of the field needs. Our desires would be unique to ourselves. Our needs would be unique to ourselves. And the power of our being would be enough. Then thou shalt not kill becomes obvious. If we are truly being the precious life of ourselves, why would we ever want to destroy another life? It's a given. It's a done deal that wouldn't even enter our heart, our soul. And possibly even in situations of self-defense, the power of our being would repel the violence. Okay, stealing. Why would we ever need to steal? There would be no need for it. In other words, were we really being the fulfillment of our being, every single commandment would become irrelevant. And, oh, yeah, I left out one. Honor your father and your mother. Well, in terms of respect and obedience, that's really mostly relevant to children who need to actually learn that they can trust someone to guide their life, and that someone, if the parent is really parenting, that someone knows them better than anyone else. There can be lots of peer bonding that gives them confidence in social situations, but until a certain age, probably around adolescence, no one, absolutely no one, knows them better than their parents. No one. And then that confidence of being known by someone who truly knows you will carry you for a lifetime, which is why the second part of that reads almost like a blessing from Spock on Star Trek, live long and be prosperous. You know, I thought, oh my goodness, it's all here. It's all here. Have a day of rest. Of course, we need to detox from the world so that we can be who we are in relation to God. It's all there. Study it again and think of it in those terms. But this is the big thing in my life right now, especially in the course of moving. I'm taking so many trips to Goodwill, donating so many things and so many trips to the trash bin. And I thought, well, I know. It's not just that I think. I'm not a materialistic person at all. I until this, I haven't owned a home in years. You know, I just don't buy things. And yet, somehow, things manage to accumulate. Sometimes out of sentiment, sometimes because people give me gifts, sometimes because I see this just lovely little thing and want to have it and think, well, I'll pass it on to somebody else once I've enjoyed it. But still, things accumulate, and especially in a business, you know, in serving other people. I've got so many things that have to do with service of other people. We can get so inundated by things, it's hard to move. It really is. And so this is really a big deal right now because I feel I'm almost at the level where putting together Yeshua's teaching with my experience I'm going through and all that I've desired to experience in the form of service to others, enlightenment to self, readiness for a life eternal, it seems to be coming into conjunction as a powerful opportunity to realize a dream of my lifetime. And so it's about time we moved into our blessing. It's 1:30. I would like to give you that blessing from me to you. And hopefully, as the weeks and months go by, I can offer you some of the fruits of my discovery and realization and attainment, hopefully, because I think it would be a wonderful goal for all of us to have. What if we could have everything we need and want simply by being who we are? And if only in this blessing, let us just be who we are. Let us surrender the whole outer shell of our identities, our externally required or stimulated needs or desires, and just be who we are, receiving the blessings of the Holy Spirit, the love of Christ, the nurturing of the earth, and the transformation of our Creator. Let us begin. If you will just be in this state of holy being in your heart, the soul that you are, the I am that you are, I will say my invocation to Christ. Then I and whoever wishes to join me as a blessing giver, we will convey the energy appropriate to this for you. Then you go and rest for 7 minutes and nurture yourself with this energy on all levels of body, heart, soul, and being. Dear Yeshua, the one who has shown us the way and the one who has given us the secret to your message that has been a mystery to so many. All these things I do, you shall do and more. Not because we are greater than you, or shall ever be, but because we expand the picture of the entire body of Christ, of all God's children, each of us holding a point of light on the tree of life. Let our light so shine that we will illuminate our village, our friends, our family, and eventually the world. Let us shine together that we make an even brighter light. And let us help the light of others turn on, that light may become the contagious opportunity of our shared heart, and that we shall light up the earth. We ask now that you convey your blessings, the energy of life, the eternal blessings of the Holy Spirit, and our sacred sovereign Creator. Help us to receive in the most perfect way we have ever received, to be in the most perfect way all that we are. Amen. The blessing conveyance is complete, but the blessing is not over. I'd like you to go and rest now for at least 7 minutes. Nurture yourself with the energy of life that has been given to you. And then enjoy the fullness of the blessing from here on and forever. I look forward to being with you next week. Know that you're very loved. Bye-bye.